What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Branding Brews. I am your host, Ryan Wheaton, owner of the Craft Brew Creative, which is a branding and design studio focused on the craft beer industry. It's really great to be back again in front of the microphone. It's been a little while, and this episode was actually recorded just shortly after the lockdown of the whole coronavirus situation, and a lot has changed since then. But I'm really excited about this episode. I think it'll be really beneficial. The topic is co-branding and kind of collaborations and how those can benefit your brewery and benefit really both brands that are collaborating together. I think a lot of collaborations happen between breweries, but in this particular episode, I wanted to look at those collaborations with reaching out to other brands, other kind of like celebrities or other kind of well-known personas and personal brands. And we'll get into that and let you know what's going on with that. But I also wanted to bring, some kind of awareness and some information out. I'm sure everybody was probably by now has heard of the All Together collaboration beer effort that was brought together by Other Half Brewing. That was a really great initiative, and I think that got spread out pretty far and wide, and it's great to have initiatives like that for our industry and just to kind of feel a part of something, but also raise awareness and also raise some funds too for like nonprofits. And so one of those new ones that you maybe have probably heard by now is called Black is Beautiful. And this one's really cool coming out right now, in light of everything that's going on with the BLM movement right now, and everything that's going on. So yeah, Black is Beautiful is a collaborative effort to raise awareness for the injustices people of color face daily and raise funds for police brutality reform and legal defenses for those who have been wronged. You can download the recipe. You can get the label artwork and the graphics at blackisbeautiful.beer. I think they also have some other collaborating partners that are offering discounts and special deals and stuff for like ingredients and labels and packaging, whatever. Again, check out that out at blackisbeautiful.beer. Next up for you, I've got, I'm going to be participating in the Craft Social Media kind of workshop day, which is presented by our friends from Radcraft. Emily Hutto has been on the show a while back, and she runs Radcraft, which is a great kind of marketing and PR agency. And yeah, the annual Craft Social Media workshop is for craft brewery marketing professionals, and it's returning again this year. But of course, this year it's going to be in a virtual format. You can meet beer-centric social influencers. You can get quick tips for managing your social media on the go, and much more. There's going to be some more keynote speakers being announced, but I will be one of those. I will be presenting during the workshop, and I will be presenting ideas on ways that you can rock your social media images and profiles with better design. And so I'd love for you to join. That is going to be on Friday, June 26th, and that will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mountain Time. So again, that's going to be on Friday, June 26th from 11 to 1 Mountain Time. Space is limited. It's truly limited. I know some people just say that for like marketing reasons to get you to jump in, but space is actually limited. So I do have a special offer. If you use the code RyanFriends, that's one word, RyanFriends, on this Craft Social Media website, you could get $5 off. And to do that, you can, to register, head on over to radcraftbeer.com/craftsocialmedia. That was radcraftbeer.com/craftsocialmedia. I'd love to see you there. As I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about social media and how to kind of design better profiles, how to design better social media images. Just kind of up your game in that sense. So let's get back onto the topic of today's episode. As I mentioned, the idea is going to be kind of around co-branding, how you can collaborate with other brands and other personalities and celebrities to raise awareness and increase your marketing, increase your branding, increase your reach. I think that's huge. You know, the craft beer industry in, you know, number of ways is kind of plateauing, and I think people are looking for ways to reach out to reach new audiences. And I think some of these, the people I'm interviewing today have great insights on that because they've both done that. So I am joined by Jordan Hoffart, who is a professional skater, and he's also the co-founder of Black Plague Brewing. Black Plague Brewing did a collaboration with Tony Hawk, professional skater. So yeah, the kind of meeting of the brewing world and the professional skating and skating world, you know, kind of tying those two cultures together and reaching out to those different audiences. We'll hear from him. And make sure you stay tuned for the second half because we're joined by Fish Scales. Fish Scales was an original member of the hip-hop group Nappy Roots. And he's also the co-founder of Atlantucky Brewing. And so, yeah, you know, Nappy Roots coming from that. He's got this kind of hip-hop background. And they've had great success, right? And now he is really reaching into the world of craft beer, getting his name out there, getting Atlantucky out there, bringing those worlds together in a great way and helping everybody promote their brands and getting more people out to drink more beer. So let's just jump in and yeah, take a listen to this interview and hope everyone's well and see you next time. Jordan Hoffart is a professional skateboarder who has played a major role in the skateboard industry for over 10 years. He has competed and won televised championships all over the world, working with major media networks such as Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports. He's developed many contacts in sourcing, manufacturing, sales, and distribution, which has given him the opportunity to bring so many people together to build Black Plague. Jordan's extensive experience in brand management and vendor engagement with several of his major sponsors that include Stereo Skateboards, Bones Wheels, and Surplus Distribution gives him the capability to oversee brand management and collaborations, marketing and promotions, as well as the handling of all brewing ops and supply chain management for Black Plague Brewing. So Jordan, dude, thank you so much for joining today, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. I never realized like the play on words how hard that was to say, but like originally, but like Black Plague Brewing, like everyone kind of fumbles on that one. I was like, man, maybe not the best call.
it rolls out pretty good. It's not bad.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, we're, you know, in the middle of trying times right now, but appreciate you taking a minute to join.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Totally. So let's just get right into this, right? So you have a deep background in professional skating. In what ways has that like culture carried over to Black Plague Brewing?
Well, it's way more like relevant than maybe even we initially like thought. Black Plague, the ethos and what we stand for is always kind of like standing out from the crowd, like having the courage to follow your true passion, like despite, you know, the naysayers and like people that say you can't do or you can't become anything. And it's like we're kind of proof in the pudding because I don't have like an extensive brewing background. And, you know, even with skateboarding, it was self-taught, self-learned. It's not something you go to school for. And so it's kind of created that mentality that there's a will, there's a way, and that's kind of what Black Plague all it is. It's like find a way or make one. That's like our slogan, right? So we stand by that. We live by that. I think most like skateboard culture, just because traditionally when back from the 80s, 90s, like, you know, it wasn't always awesome. It wasn't always cool. It was like you were kind of an outcast and – but you people, when they saw you doing it, it's because they knew you loved to do it. You know, it wasn't the cool thing to do. Everyone else is doing it. And I think the authenticity of that kind of brought it to the forefront of being cool. It was like anything super authentic, I think, plants a seed and kind of transcends to the masses. So, that stems true in skateboarding and it stems true in craft beer. As you know, it's a battle in craft beer. I don't think a lot of people understand like all the dynamics and facets that go along with producing 12-ounce can of beer or a keg of beer, they think like, oh, cool, you just stand around and like drink beer with your friends. Like, I wish I could tell you honestly, I visited more of my friends and visited breweries before we opened one, and then ever since we opened one, it's like I don't have time. I could go home. That's all I can do. Take care of my kids. So yeah. It's definitely a grind. It's definitely like I said, there's so many facets and there's so many regulations and laws and regulating governing bodies that you interact with consistently, and all the different things you have to file on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So it's a grind. It's a grind for sure. But that's skateboarding. It's a grind. You like people don't see the 99.9% of the tries where you're eating shit and you're not landing the trick and getting frustrated and you're getting banged up and smacking your knee and God forbid, but you knock yourself out, whatever. They just see the seemingly effortless, roll away and are just like, oh, that's so cool. Skateboarding's so easy. You just get to go skate with your butt, you know? But right. I like that. It's hectic. It's all or nothing. So kind of went on a tangent there, but that's kind of the intertwining of the two worlds. And the more I dove into the craft beer industry, especially locally, the more that same kind of mentality exists as in skateboarding, like core skateboarding. It's there's the core brewers, right? They're like your core skateboarding market, and it's like everything kind of transcends to the public from there. That's like the nucleus, you know. And they do it for the passion. They do it for, you know, to keep it at such a high level and continuously creating the new beer styles. A lot of the traditionalists perfecting those traditional beer styles and just getting their shit in check, and they all kind of like stick together to create like a better culture and a better product. So it's kind of the same thing with skating. It's like if you're a core skateboarder, you're just kind of in competition with yourself, and everyone else is just, the camaraderie is there, and you're just kind of trying to make the best version of yourself via, you know, the tricks you do. So I don't know if that answered anything.
Yeah, no, it totally did. The background similarities are great. You know, like kind of, back in the days, like skaters weren't necessarily like the cool kids, you know, or they were seen as like kind of this little offset of this different culture. And, the brewing kind of started that way. And now it's kind of the cool kid on the block, So, I mean, in regards to the skate culture, are those folks coming and hanging out at your brewery? Like, do you feel like there's a good alignment between craft beer and like the skate culture? Like, has that been a good fit, like overall?
I'd say it's the awareness is getting more, is getting out there more, and the appreciation is getting out there more. Like when we first started, like for sure, I thought like, oh yeah, it's just gonna be full of skateboarders and that's gonna be our demographic, and I was like pretty much dead wrong. But that's also primarily because of our location, right? It's like you're really only gonna bring in the 5-mile radius of your brewery into the tap room that we see. So we're backed in between two really awesome communities that have been super supportive, but it's primarily like young families that come in here and they're like mid to late 30s, early 40s, you know. That's kind of who we see in here, but that I attribute to that. And are they skateboarders? Yeah, a lot of them grew up skateboarding and stuff. So there's that aspect of it, but it transcends. I think it's more of the culture. They didn't necessarily be big skateboarders, but the culture surrounding skateboarding is what everyone can kind of resonate with. Mm. And so we're opening up another tasting room in North Park. So you know, there's a different demographic down there, so it'll hopefully resonate with some more skateboard culture down there. But yeah, we try to do our best to educate the guys like Tony and whatnot, like on for them to be able to feel more like involved with the day-to-day and take pride in the product and kind of know their shit, so to speak, when because people approach them all the time and ask about it. So
nice. Yeah, well, that's a great segue, right? So for this interview, we're discussing Tony Hopp's Birdhouse IPA, which was, boom, there it is.
I got it. I'm ready, dude.
That's dope, dude. So dope. Cool. So this was a collaboration with professional skater Tony Hawk. Boom. How did you approach creating this like co-branded beer?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So Tony is obviously a part of Black Plague. He's one of our, I should say, not so silent partners, because he waves the flag pretty hard. But so he rides for Bones Wheels. I ride for Bones Wheels. I've known Tony for probably about 15 years. And so I basically made, to get him involved initially, you know, we had our proposal and our deck and everything. So I like did a full legitimate pitch, and he just was really back in what we were all about, and he loved that other skateboarders were involved, and he loved that it was local. And then obviously we have the Plague Doctor mask, which he actually had a birdhouse skateboard that was the Plague Doctor, so and him being the Birdman, it just kind of all the pieces kind of lined up. So we were talking I guess early around this time last year, and we were thinking it'd be really cool to do like collaboration outside of just the direct beer market, and you know, start utilizing some of the guys that are involved with the brands. And obviously Tony is the biggest name that there is as far as the action sports and skateboarding world. So we were just kind of playing around with ideas, and you know, Tony Hops just kind of came out of the, I just like blurted it out one day, and I was like, dude, it's too good, like it's too good. We got to do something. Like, we got to see if he'd be down, you know? So we didn't just rush to him and be like, hey, I got this idea, Tony Hawks, what do you think? You know, it was like kind of thought out. And then Jared, like yourself, is a super talented graphic designer. That's my partner. So he started getting – he does all of our can designs, labels, everything. He's kind of a whiz. So he got on his computer and on Photo or Illustrator and started mocking up all these cans, and we kind of put a proposal together, and we just had, you know, we had a pitch dialed in, basically like, hey, here's what we want to do. Tony Hops, IPA hops, you got to do an IPA, you just have to. Here's what we want to brew. We want you to be involved in the brewing process. We want to film you being involved in the brewing process, just so it's not like, hey, let's slap, you know, just slap your name on it and, you know, just to use you as marketing. We'd really like to get involved. So I don't know if you see on the website, but I can send you a link too. We actually filmed out like the whole brewing day and him sniffing and picking out all helping pick out all hops for the recipe. And yeah. Had him kind of dive in and brew the batch, the first two initial batches with our head brewer, Eric. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, at the end of the day, it wasn't that hard to get him on board. He was pretty down for the idea. And I think, I mean, who kind of doesn't want their name on a beer, I guess.
Yeah. That's, I mean, the thing to consider though, right, is you know, that person's particular, if it wasn't Tony Hawk or, you know, but like it's Birdhouse, his brand as well.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're like approaching a different brand or a different celebrity of some sort, that the idea of putting your name on a beer, that's something you got to consider, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So you put together like a little pitch deck with like a mocked up can. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. We did like the full can mock up. We did, obviously, you know, we cut him a little royalty on the sales. I mean, we're using his likeness, we're using his brand. Yeah. So there's got to be something in it for on that side of the fence as well. So we kind of came to an agreement on a royalty, and then we wanted to use his actual skateboard company. So it's Tony Hops Birdhouse IPA, just to kind of cement the whole skateboarding connection as well. So so we basically went and we pitched it to him and his team, and just the hardest part, which actually wasn't that hard, was just working out the contracts with any conflicting likeness of his name, just because he has a lot of contracts out there that for his name. So we had to be careful with what we could do and what we couldn't do. And once we kind of figured that out, we set up a launch date for last summer, and that's when he came in, and we like filmed all the videos of him brewing, and kind of just launched full force and made like small run of skateboards that he could ride, and we did a limited sale on those, and then did a full clothing capsule as well. So there's like shirts, the board, we did some hoodies, and then obviously the canned beer and on draft as well. And it was a big hit. It jumped to number one within the first 5 weeks of our of releasing it. So
hell yeah.
I want to say the beer is awesome, but I think the name had something to do with it.
Yeah, right. Though that's dope. That's dope, though. I mean, the idea, like, beyond just the beer, the potential in co-branding or collaboration like this is like the merchandise, you like hats, like, yeah, all that stuff. And it, the great thing I love about collaborating like this is that you're tapping into both brands, like audiences, so your reach, you know, can get to be a lot more.
Totally.
So were there any surprising, like, results because of this collaboration that maybe you weren't expecting that kind of just, like, surprised you?
I mean, I don't know if they were surprising. I mean, I don't – you always hope that something's going to hit. We've been pretty good about pivoting if, you know, brands don't hit, like, our intentions. But this one, I guess we were surprised that it hit as well as we had hoped. That was the biggest thing. It opened up a lot of doors for us, especially the off-premise accounts, like the chain stores. Obviously, just him being a household name, and like you know, seeing a product. I guess the most comparable one is the Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, I don't need to be like a huge craft beer fan, but you could be a huge Stone. I mean, who's not a Stone Cold Awesome. You know, to go and see a six pack of his beer and pick it up, you're gonna try it once, you know, regardless, and hopefully it's good. I actually haven't had it yet, but so that in that sense, it definitely opened up a lot of opportunity for us, because the branding too, being able to get the off premise, has kind of brought in more of the keg sales, and people, you know, they see, this is the same thing, they see the Birdman on the menu board, and they see Tony Hawk's, they go, ha, that's, you know, that's funny, whether you're a pun guy or not. But it was just, like I said, it was just, it all kind of just came together, and people are willing to try it just on the association alone. So
yeah. So if a brewery were to approach a collaboration beer like this with, like, say, another celebrity or another well-known brand, what advice would you have for them?
I wouldn't rush it. And I'd get your P's and Q's sorted. Like, I'd get your pitch deck. You get your initial contract. You got to understand, is this like a one-off, or are you going to do like a, you know, a one-year deal, two-year deal? Like, how long is this, you know, how much resources and time are you investing into this thing? And then have different scenarios. Like, have all your forecasts kind of done. Like, you know, we use Ecos, which is like a production management software, but it's really good at like forecasting based off historicals. So if you think the brand's going to hit, you can kind of shimmy out like X percent's going to be on premise, X percent's going to be off premise. Now, what's the royalty breakdown on that? Are we offering on premise sale royalty as well as can sale as well as your tasting room? Because each one of those has a direct effect on your revenue and your COGS, and you got to make sure that you know what you're getting into ahead of time before you're just like, yep, sounds good, and you sign off and you're all excited, and then sure enough, you're losing money every month because you just, there was no sustainability. So that was a huge thing that we needed to sorted prior to jumping in both feet. And then trademarking is going to be a big one, just because you know, there's a lot of sharks out there. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, everything's trademarked. It's crazy to kind of find a name. No one's touching Black Plague, thank God.
Yeah.
That one was pretty easy to get, but you just got to protect yourself, because at the end of the day, business is business. And when it comes down to it, people are going to look out for their businesses. So make sure you have all the legal stuff kind of solidified prior to launching the product. And then just kind of come to agreement, like, have, before you do like a real pitch, have a concept of the artwork that you want to use, have concepts of the name, and do you want to do a capsule, and what are all the facets and merchandise are you going to do? Like, have that all dialed in. The more you can have like completely dialed in before you start, the clearer your path's going to be and the trajectory of that path. So That would be, there's a lot more, I'm sure, but that would be off the top of my head, some of the stuff you want to get dialed. And I would basically just say that the last thing I was going to say is, like, don't get discouraged when people say no, because you're going to get, for every yes, you're going to get 1,000 no's, you know? So you just gotta pick yourself up and keep reaching out for sure.
Nice. Well, Jordan, I really appreciate your time. Yeah, I think you got a rad, you know, got a rad brewery, you got a rad brand going on. Some really cool stuff. And this one hit home with me, as I discussed with you earlier, you know, because coming from a background of a lot of skating and stuff. And it's cool to see these two worlds collide. And it's a great collaboration. So I appreciate you coming on, giving some insights to anyone out there that like might be looking to do a similar thing. Where can folks find you if they want to find out more about Black Plague or about yourself? Because you've got, you know, like you've got a history as being a professional skater as well. So where would you point people to find you?
I mean, right now is that social media is king, especially while everyone's quarantined, right? So
yeah.
You can check our IG handles, like Black Plague Brewing. And then we have Black Plague Oceanside, which is our Oceanside tasting room. And then we're about to launch Black Plague North Park, which is down in San Diego. So those are the main handles, and then we're on Facebook under the same handle. And then me personally, it's just at Jordan Hoffert. But yeah, and then we're distributed in the state of California through Carl Strauss and Pyro Distribution. And then we just went out to Arizona through Quail Can Fly. So we're in the state of Arizona, and then we're trickling out to Mexico as well. So for physical product, those are the three territories you can find us.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Jordan.
Hell yeah. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. So I'm joined by Fish Scales, who is the original member of Nappy Roots. What up? He's the only member not from Kentucky, and he's a Georgia, and he's a Georgia native. Fish Scales introduced Nappy Roots to the beer game, and he's also the co-founder of Atlantucky Brewing. So what's up, man? Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got a number of time on my hands right now.
I know, right? Yeah, we're right in the middle of the whole like coronavirus situation, and you got tour stuff that got canceled, right? So you're just trying to like hustle at home right now, right?
Right, exactly. I'm doing a little business each day, but really just trying to enjoy family, man, enjoy home, and catch up with myself, you know?
Absolutely.
Using this time, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Sweet. Well, let's jump into this. I think you've got a great perspective because you are like kind of you're bringing your own brand into the beer world. So, someone who is an artist and a performer, like, what draws you to beer? Like, what brought you into the whole like beer culture?
To make a long story short, like we as Nappy Roots, we came together. Beer, weed, partying, you know, freestyling. That was kind of a big part of our group early, you know, mid-90s. So I can't say I totally introduced Nappy Roots to beer, but I introduced them to the beer game, the craft beer game. And what kind of attracted me to it was the varieties, the different brands, the different styles of beers that you could go out and get. Short story, there was a store under the place where I lived like 10, 11 years ago. And I would go downstairs and I'd just grab a beer. You know, a random beer. And one day I seen a new beer. I think it was a session beers, small bottles. And I grabbed one just to try it. And as I was walking out, the owner said, "If you see anything else you like, let me know. I'll order it." And it hit me like, order it? There's more beer than just Bud Light, Miller Light, and this session. Like, there's more beer. So I constantly start looking for beer, you know, different beers to try. And nowadays, I rarely drink the same beer twice, man, and I love that about beer.
Yeah, right. So how are you then bringing, like, your beer collaborations to the culture and audience of, say, like, Nappy Roots?
It's interesting because I think the craft beer audience is very similar to the Nappy Roots audience, you know, nice. From the age group to the lifestyle. It all fits into what we do. You know, our shows is full of people enjoying beer. You know, of course, a lot of times it's more of a cheaper, more traditional beer. But here we are on stage telling people that we're making beer, and it excites them. People really want to try it and experience the Atlantucky experience. And people like seeing us grow as artists, from going from rappers to now investing in a whole different business,
yeah,
which is beer.
Cool. So like say for instance you have a collaboration or you came out with your own beer, how would you then like promote that and bring that culture from the marry the culture of Nappy Roots with like the beer? Like, do you throw like parties like with the breweries to like promote this like release, or if you came out with a release, like how would you go about promoting it to your like audience?
It's a couple ways we do it. We try to make sure we have a show in that town, like, and that's kind of how it happens anyway. Nappy Roots tour over 100 dates a year. So soon as we get into a town, like we talked about earlier, soon as we arrive in a town, we find a brewery, because it kind of give us the vibe, you know, the pulse of the city, and it also helps us promote our show that night. So as we do that, 9 times out of 10, we meet the brewer. He introduces us to the owner, and we have a few drinks. We laugh and joking, and before you know it, we've agreed to do a beer. And so we do that beer, or we plan that beer, and yeah, we come back, do an event, promote another show, you know, get that brewery involved in the show. So it's a win-win for us, for the promoter, as well as the brewery, because we bring a lot of attention to it. Like, for example, in Whitefish, Montana, our last show this year, we did a show with Bonsai, we did a brew with Bonsai Brewing out of Whitefish. And during the show, we make sure the promoter order a keg of the beer. Like, we let them know we don't want any drinks but our drink.
Yeah.
So the promoter has to, you know, that's pretty cool, because the promoter has to provide a keg of our beer. And the whole show, we're on stage telling people don't drink anything but our beer. And people are pretty responsive to that. And it's just a win-win. It's fun. Everybody, you know, it creates more promotion and makes our brand even better, especially when the beer is really good.
Right.
Which it has been so far.
Yeah. So people that that you've, in this journey of yours, of like, you know, coming from the hip-hop culture into the beer culture, like, have you found that you've been able to introduce this like these like craft styles to audiences and to people that maybe haven't drank craft? Like, have you had people come up to you and be like, oh man, this beer is like, it's so dope, like I haven't tried anything like this before, kind of a situation?
Oh man, all the time, man. And I know a lot of people say that to your face, but we get a lot of good response on our beers. And one of my funnest things to do is to take one of my cousins from my small town Millersville, Georgia, and take him to try some different beers. First thing people tell me is, nah, I don't like beer. And that to me is like a challenge.
It's okay, a challenge. Yeah.
I just got to find the beer. You just hadn't found the beer that you like, because there's so many different kinds. But I love introducing people to different beers. And when we make beer and collab with other brewers, we keep in mind that our goal is to introduce a lot of new people. So we try to be extreme with our flavors. We try to make flavors that people that will be good for introducing people to, like this Kentucky Mud. It's a that we just made, our last beer. It's a chocolate milk stout, and a lot of people don't even know, aren't familiar with stouts, period. You know, a lot of people, they're not familiar with that style of beer. So to give them this, because it's sweet, it's got lactose, it's got chocolate, so it's hard not to like.
Yeah,
but it blows people's mind. It's like, I didn't even know beer could taste like this, you know. So that's the fun part, and that's something we keep in mind while we're making beers.
That's great. Yeah, I think you're like a big, a great like example of, you know, the beer industry kind of like was starting to plateau a bit, you know, like, but there's still a lot of people that haven't had craft beer. So I think there's a great like effort to try to diversify audiences, and obviously people like you. That's great. You know, you're out there like bringing this, your craft, being, you know, rap and hip hop also with beer, like bringing those crafts out to the people. Yes. That, you know, that's great.
Yeah. It's, man, we are in a great position. Like, craft beer has kind of plateaued, you know, the audience is mid 30s, white male.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for other people. And I feel like we've been doing this for like 4 years now, just going to breweries, learning more about how to make beer. So I feel like we're putting ourselves in the perfect position for this moment, when the big companies are like, okay, we need another customer, we need another audience. And I feel like Nappy Roots, we put ourselves in position to be like, hey, we're here, we can take you there. We can take you to this new audience, to this hip-hop audience, to this black professional audience who want something new. They appreciate flavors. They appreciate the the better version of anything, you know, whether it's beer or whether it's food, they want the better version of it. And we've tried to put ourselves in position to be the people who can, to be that bridge from Budweiser or from New Belgium to the new craft beer drinkers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is great. Yeah, I'm really wanting to help make a connection to breweries that are going to be listening to this seminar and just like trying to open up new ways that they can collaborate with other folks. I mean, the common way to do, you know, breweries are collaborating with other breweries to make beers between that. But, you know, there's been some great examples of like what you're doing where breweries are working with other artists or other brands and kind of reaching out of that to kind of bring it to a new audience. So for like the brewery partners that you've worked with, what is like the biggest benefits to them from your collaborations that you've seen?
Well, our goal is to make sure it benefits them too. Like, you know, or this won't work if everybody don't benefit. But I think they get national exposure, you know, from our social media, because think about a lot of local breweries, they're local. Like, they're not able to travel like Nappy Roots can. So we take that opportunity to take this beer that we made in Boise, Idaho. I have it in Atlanta, Georgia, promoting it to all of my friends right now. So it gives them more national exposure. It gives them a fun night when we have our event. It's some of the funnest parties and performances we have is when we team up with a brewery. And it's a competitive market, so everybody's looking for a leg up. But I think Nappy Roots, that's exactly what we do. We give you some help, kind of make you a little hipper than you was before we walked in.
Yeah.
We talk about it. We take it around. We do beer shares with your beer in places that you probably couldn't get. And we appreciate the process. So we become friends with the brewers. You know, it becomes a relationship that we hope to keep, you know, so moving forward.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you then on like the process side of things. You know a bit, you know a good bit about beer yourself, and you brew your own in it. And so that is also going to be something that's unique in that. Well, just maybe tell us a little bit of the process of like when you connect with a brewery or with a brewer and you decide to collaborate on a beer. Like, how does that process go for you? I mean, like, how do you like to kind of create something that's going to fit like the Atlantucky brewing kind of feel, you know?
Well, for me, me and Skinny approach it two different ways. But for me, I like to look at where the brewery is, because certain places do certain beers better than others. And I like to just see the vibe of the people. Some people don't like using lactose. Some people don't like this whole hazy trend, you know? So I kind of figure out, I like to see what each brewery does best. And so we go in, we catch a vibe, and basically it's totally 50-50 on the ideas. Like, the brewers totally respect us. They are impressed by our knowledge. We ask a lot of questions, you know, and brewers love that. Yeah. They love when you ask questions, and we love learning about making beer, and we just vibe it out. We tell them what we want to make, and they tell us how to make it and what will and won't work. For example, we did a beer with Scofflaw Brewing out of Atlanta, and we just wanted to make a really sweet milkshake IPA. And it ended up being a strawberry banana milkshake IPA, which is a lot. It's a lot. And thank God it came out good. It came out really good. But they told us the do's and don'ts within that, you know, because they have more knowledge than we do. So they just tell us the do's and don'ts, what we can and what we shouldn't do. And we follow their lead 100%. We show up on the brew day. We shovel the grain, you know, whatever. We sweep the floors, mop the floors. We shovel the grain, do anything they tell us to do just to be a part of the process. And it's educational for us because we get to watch them work these big machines that we're not able to use yet. You know, we're not at that level yet, but we are basically in class watching and learning.
Yeah.
And a couple of beers we've done, we do a party for the brew day. On the brew day, we do a party. So in 3 or 4 weeks, everybody's excited to come back because everybody who showed up to the brew day party feels a part of the beer. You know, they feel like they was a part of making this whole beer. And so it makes for a good event.
Yeah, can you tell me more about that? Like, you said you mentioned the brew day party. That sounds like an interesting way to kind of bring people in to, because, you know, all this really is about promoting, right? You know, it's all about selling more beer. It's about building up hype. Yeah. So I'd love to hear more about like that Brew Day party you mentioned.
Yeah, it's a dope idea. I think Skinny came up with. We did it with Skyflow. We just buy a bunch of pizza. We actually start brewing about 10. And about 3 o'clock, we invite people to come when we're about wrapping up.
Yeah.
They might see us transferring the beer to the fermenters. And it's dope, man. We're partying. People are seeing the beer. They seen the process. They seen us dressed like we've been working. So they're like, okay, this is the beer. We sit around, talk. We tell them what's in the fermenter. And 3 weeks later, they're excited. They bring more people to the actual event, you know, because we've talked about it for 3 weeks. But it's a simple day. You know, we always want the event to be bigger than the actual brew day. But it's a good time for press to come in, ask questions, and all that stuff. And that's what we also bring to breweries. Like, we like to think we have a good press machine that we can push the button and bring a lot of attention to whatever we're doing.
I love that. I think that's such a great idea. That's awesome.
Yeah. We get our team on it, man. We get our team on it.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Hustling. Cool. So what advice might you have for, like, breweries that are looking to connect with artists like yourself or, like, maybe other well-known brands to create these kind of, like, collaborations and kind of co-branded beers?
My advice to the artist and the brewer is, like, make it genuine, man. Like, I get it. Some people are doing beers. Bun B from UGK got a beer. And I think somebody overheard him saying he hadn't had a beer in years.
Huh.
You know, but he's Bun B. We let him get away with it. But, like, we have to be there on the brew day. Like, it has to be genuine. You know, this is not just a money grab. This is us learning and creating something that we can, that can be around for years. Like, we want to create beers that will be around for forever, just like our music. We want it to be around forever. So for the breweries, I'm sure they already know this, but you gotta pick an art, or you should pick an artist that fits your demo, you know, fits your demographics. Don't, you know, some people don't need Nappy Roots to do a beer with, you know, that doesn't fit who they serve beer to. But fortunately, we have a good brand that people feel safe around, and we can go a lot of places and do beers. But find the artist that fits what you're doing and somebody who will take the opportunity serious. Mm-hmm. You know, some artists is just throwing their names on beers, and they probably never tweet or promote it out. But every beer we do is a huge deal for us.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. We do whatever is asked of us to help promote it and sell it out. We want all the beer sold the first day. That's how we operate.
Relationships are huge, so I think that's a great point, man.
Yeah, take it serious. Relationship, both of y'all having the same common goal that you're trying to sell beer. Like you said, we're trying to sell beer, and us right now, we're trying to learn how to sell beer. That's what our collabs is all about, learning from the breweries how to actually sell beer.
So you're in a unique situation, I think, to maybe a lot of other like collaboration beers or a lot of other like co-branded beers. Why don't you go ahead and like give us a little rundown about Atlantunky Brewing and like what you're, where you're coming from and what you're gaining out of these collaborations. And I think it's kind of a unique approach.
Right? Let me show you my brew house right quick.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
I just moved my stuff around, so it's not that neat. But I can show you the brew house.
Yeah.
That we started brewing on. It's a Sabco, and do like 10-gallon batches on that. But I'm sorry. Oh, you said Atlantucky. Okay, yeah, Atlantucky. I like to think of us as gypsy brewers, man. Nano gypsy brewers, because we take one company, Nappy Roots, and we put Atlantucky on his back and go anywhere Nappy Roots go. And wherever Nappy Roots go, Atlantucky jumps off and find a brewery and starts doing business. And it's basically, man, just Atlantucky kind of represents the relationship between Louisville and Atlanta. That was a huge thing for Nappy Roots. We wouldn't be here without taking those trips from Kentucky to Atlanta to try to make music. So that whole area, man, going through Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Birmingham, all these places, are so important to us that we just wanted to pay tribute to that whole trail that we used to make from Louisville to Atlanta. So we named the brewery after it. And I love the name, actually. I like Atlanta better than Nappy Roots. But it's just a brewery idea right now. And I like to think of us as gypsy brewers.
Yeah.
Who just go around the country making the best beer in the world.
Yeah, so you're making it into a brand, you know. Because you probably want to help keep Nappy Roots its own brand, but also have it be related to Atlantucky Brewing. So yeah. That's cool. I really dig how you want to kind of keep those separate, but also, you know, together to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great approach.
Yeah, and that's what we're dealing with now. Like, we're doing beers with people, and sometimes they want to put Nappy Roots all over it. And we have to balance that. You know, of course, Nappy Roots is more known than Atlantucky.
Yeah.
But there's a balance. We're trying to shift the gears, and we have to tell them, no, we want Atlantucky on there. And the story will get out one day, eventually, that Nappy Roots is behind Atlantucky.
Yeah.
Which makes it even better to me once you find it out on your own.
That's perfect. Yeah. So where can people find you for, you know, more information on Nappy Roots or more information on Atlantucky Brewing?
You can go to atlantucky.com. We have all of our information on there. Nappyroots.com. Really, you can search Nappy Roots anywhere. We try to make sure we're on all platforms. And hit us up, man. We all have our personal sites, personal pages. And we love to talk beer. We're not at a stage where we're flooded with so many DMs that we can't respond. So if you hit us on Instagram, Atlantucky on Instagram, and let's talk beer. That's the hashtag I use a lot. Let's talk beer. Whether we're talking an event, a beer, or a beer share, whatever, you know, we are 100% focused on beer right now.
Perfect.
And so you hit us up, we definitely would love to talk beer.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining so much, Fish Scales. I appreciate your time. I really dig what you're doing. Thank you again, man.
I just want to say I'd like to thank you for what you're doing too. You're bringing attention to something that's really going on right now. Craft beer is definitely creating relationships with hip-hop artists. I hadn't seen it with too many other genres of music, but I'm sure it's coming. But I think it's good. I think it's good for both parties, man. Hip-hop needs to know about craft beer. Hip-hop and craft beer needs to merge, and I hope we're in the forefront of that.